We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Do you feel at all discouraged or filled with self-doubt or feel like you're just stuck halfway through or almost all the way through your book and you feel like giving up? Every writer faces this struggle at some point or another, just that feeling of doubt, discouragement, hesitation, fear, and wondering if there's any point in continuing because you've started to kind of lose faith in your story in one way or another. So many writers deal with this struggle, and it's a very real struggle, and Kate and I are here today to address this issue and to give you 7 reasons, really good reasons, to not give up on your story and to keep writing, even when you feel discouraged. Because sometimes, because our imaginations are so active, we can kind of convince ourselves to believe something that isn't even true about our writing, that it's not worth writing or worth continuing, or it's not going to turn out the way we hoped. And we're here today to tell you that's not true. Don't listen to that voice of self-doubt. Listen to what we're going to tell you today, because these 7 reasons for continuing with your story are hopefully going to inspire you and maybe give you an extra boost of creativity to make it to the finish line of your story, whether you are working on a NaNoWriMo project or just a project that you've been chipping away at for a long time. So that's what we're going to dig into today. Super excited to get into these 7 reasons. But first, before we get into this, we have to thank our amazing patrons, our sponsors. That's you guys. You are the ones who support this show, keep it going, keep it free of interruptions, and we so appreciate your support. So if you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. Also on the Patreon, every single month, at the last day of every month, Kate and I come together for a special live stream hangout for the Patreon community, and we hope to see you over there on those live streams. It's for all tiers. Every tier gets access to those live streams, so check that out while you're over on the Patreon. Okay, let's get into these 7 powerful reasons to keep writing your book. Reason number 1 is that your book is unique, even if you don't think it is. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel like there's nothing unique about your book, like it's all been done before, and you're like, maybe, you know, I don't have anything new to bring to this genre or this subgenre. And you feel like maybe this plot is just too similar to something else that you've seen done before. But the thing is, like, every story has been done before in some way, mm-hmm. you know? That's why we have genres. That's why we have subgenres. Really specific tropes, you know? Why do people like specific tropes? Because it's been done before and they like it. So if this is one of the reasons why you're feeling self-doubt or hesitation, like, oh, maybe it's not unique enough, it is, because you're the one writing it. And right. only you can put these ingredients together in that specific, unique way.
Exactly.
You know, and
because
I think
every perspective is going to be different. Yeah. It's your unique yes. voice that you're bringing to it yeah. that makes it unique, not just the subject matter.
Right.
Because when you think about, like you were saying, people who are a fan of a certain genre or subgenre, who maybe like, for example, vampire books, vampire romance, how many books fall into that category? There are many.
Right.
So imagine if one of those writers thought, oh, well, there was one book done that was really popular about that, so now I'm not going to write it. Right. Well, that really loyal fan base around that type of story would be pretty bummed out because they want more books like that. Yeah. The same thing with deep fantasy, with fairies and trolls and stuff like that. Woodland fantasy. There's so many books and movies and series with those ingredients, and there's a huge fan base for that. So it doesn't need to be, oh, well, there's already been a story done like that. Well, no one's going to bring your unique voice and perspective and thoughts to that type of story, even though you're using similar elements and similar characters.
Yeah, because they're really like all ingredients.
Yeah.
I like to think of it sort of like a recipe, like a chef who comes up with their own recipes.
Right.
They're creating new recipes. They're not creating new ingredients. They're using all the same ingredients that other chefs use, but they're putting them together in a new assemblage that is unique because of their own ideas of how to put those things together.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And just remembering that there are massive fan bases for each of these types of stories. So just because they've been done maybe once, maybe 100 times, doesn't mean that there isn't room for your unique voice within that community.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times, just the little things are the things that make it like super unique, and the things that someday somebody will fall in love with.
Very true.
And that doesn't mean if you feel like, oh, this isn't super original, that is no reason to not write it. That's no reason that it shouldn't be successful and amazing and popular, and no reason that you shouldn't finish writing it. So, reason number one. Reason number two is because you were passionate enough to start it. You were passionate enough to start this journey. And that is such an important thing to remember, because one of the scariest things we can experience as writers is that feeling of lack of passion. Like, all my passion is dried up. My inspiration is dried up. I don't have anything left to pour into this story. And while that might feel like a period of burnout where you just don't have that same energy, a lot of times it passes. You can get through it. Kate and I just did a podcast a couple weeks ago about breaking through writer's block. So that feeling of like creative lull, feeling creatively dull, you can check out that episode for some good tips on that. But here's the thing, you were passionate enough to start it. So you can always find that passion, that
reigniting that same
reignite
passion.
Reignite it, because it was there before. It was like a smoldering fire now. It's like, you can barely tell that there has been a fire there, but believe it or not, you can restart a fire like that. Right. even if it seems like there's no flames, it's just like smoldering hot coals, it still has the potential to be reignited. So look at your inspiration like that. The thing that originally pushed you to start creating this thing, that fire is still smoldering somewhere inside you. So you just have to, maybe it's a process of letting go of other things, you know, other distractions, like we were talking about last time in the last podcast, like through meditation, through, you know, putting away social media, putting away other exterior influences that can kind of deplete you.
Exactly. That. Yeah, that's so true. Taking stock, going back to what is going to help me cultivate this creative headspace to feel excited to write. Really making writing the path of least resistance in your life, finding ways to make it easier and easier for you to fall into that habit of showing up for yourself to write. And if you're in a place where you don't feel excited about your work, you don't feel excited to sit down and write, like Abby was saying, think back to when you first got the idea for this book. What were the things that made you excited about it? What elements, what characters, what aspects of the story really got you excited to sit down and write it, and see if you can bring back some of that sweetness, some of that bliss and inspiration to this present moment of writing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, and just remembering those things can even just reignite the excitement for it. That's why, like, before I start rewriting a book, I always like go and make a little list of like, what things do I love about this book before I even like look at it again, before I do my initial read through, because a lot of times if I've forgotten some details of it, I have sort of this like rose tinted like view of what it was. not even so much like I do know that there's some problems with it possibly that need to be addressed or fixed or rewritten, but I also look back at like, what were all those things I remember really loving about it? So you can do that while you're in the midst of writing a first draft. You could do that for something that you're just kind of stuck on or feeling creatively dull. Just pause and take stock, like Kate was saying, and make yourself a list of like, what were the things that made me super passionate to start writing this book in the first place? What were like some of those tropes that you really loved, or some of the elements in the story that really got you excited?
One of the things for me too is that going back to a playlist that first inspired you to write the book. It's kind of like how some couples will have certain love songs or just a song that's like their song and it will come on it. And I know I can relate to that with me and my husband. Like you'll hear a certain song and you'll be like, oh, that's our song. And it brings back all these happy memories of what that feeling of, you know, first falling in love was like. Do that with your book. A lot of times, I know as a writer, I have so many songs that are like my romance song for my book that I'm like, oh, this is what I fell in love with this story was. I remember thinking about this when I was listening to this song and this character, this is like their theme. Like if you have some songs like that, compile a playlist of them and like go, or maybe you already have a playlist for your book. Go back and listen through and you'll be surprised sometimes how that will just get you into the zone. You'll be like, oh, I want to write these characters now. Or maybe you'll have a new, fresh idea based on going back over those same, like, that, those initial thoughts, that initial inspiration. Maybe something new will spark in the back of your mind and get you excited again to write something new, something different.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Which I know you do a lot. Abby's very intense with playlists and having songs that she'll be like, oh, this is this song reminds me of this book and this character.
Yes.
And
so many playlists.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of you guys, I know many of you in the comments section talk about playlists. So use that to your advantage to help you root down in some inspiration.
I love that. Reason number three to not give up, because you know what you're doing. So even if you have hit an area in your book where you feel like unqualified, like I don't know enough about what I'm writing about, how can I write this? I'm not an expert at this. And that's what's tripping you up. Remember that you can learn anything. And especially today with the internet, with experts that are able to be reached out to at a moment's notice, it's so possible to learn anything you want to learn that you want to write about. And I really believe that you shouldn't write what you know. You should write what you know emotionally. And you should write what you want to know. So you can learn things through the writing process. I think that's one of the best ways to learn things and to become more qualified in something. I know that for me, like learning something, like reading about something is so much more dynamic when I have to then go take what I learned and like write it from the perspective of somebody who already knows it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different way of like processing what you just learned.
Yeah, it is. It's very... it's almost like you're having to do that. You have to walk yourself through what would it be like to actually do that.
Yeah. And you don't have to like, you don't have to actually go do it in order to know about it and to know how to do it. Like, you know, take for instance, a writer who is writing about the Civil War and they're a historian about, they're a Civil War historian. They actually didn't go fight in the Civil War, so they won't know firsthand exactly what it was like, but they're able to learn and figure out those certain intricacies of what they're writing about because they take the time to learn about it.
And you did a short video, I think, for your Instagram or something that I watched where you talked about book research, and maybe we can link that below.
Yes.
In this video. But Abby did a short video where she was talking about book research and how she used, for The Other World, she had to write a lot about flying small planes.
Yes.
And she used, Quora to talk to people who actually had experiences, bush pilots, and it was just really an unexpected process that didn't involve just sitting down in front of a stack of books and trying to sift your way through a bunch of information, or sitting down in front of just miles of internet articles to try to digest a bunch of information, but how you can really cut to the crux of exactly what you need. So go watch that video because it was really a really quick video, but it put together a lot of the things you did to do research for that book.
Yeah, it's so helpful to talk to experts, like so much better than reading a stack of books.
Yes.
and a lot of times they'll proofread stuff for you. Like that's what I found was I reached out and made friends with a few bush pilots. They proofread pieces of my book for me, gave me feedback. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. There's so many people that really enjoy when you reach out to them. They're like, I would love to read part of your book. You know, you have to flip it around. And if a writer contacted you and asked, hey, this thing that you're an expert at, can I have you read this piece? You'd probably be like, wow, yes, that'd be so cool. Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that's really awesome. So it gives you the opportunity to make new connections, new friends, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is really fun. Reason number four to not give up, because it's going to be someone's favorite book one day.
Yes.
This is one of the coolest things I think to think about is like, just think about how these scenes and these characters and these conversations and scenarios that you've been lying awake in bed at night, planning in your mind and brainstorming and reworking and writing and dreaming about are going to be in a book on someone's shelf someday next to their favorite books. And it may be one of their favorite books of all time. It may be their favorite book of all time. I can tell you how many people have told me that 100 Days of Sunlight is their favorite book of all time. And that just blows my mind every time I hear it. I feel so overwhelmed with gratitude. And it makes me just like so emotional to think about how during all the writing and the rewriting and the editing process and the publishing process, that was like a beacon of light that sort of guided me onward, is like, this is going to be special to somebody someday. And it's 100% possible for your book. So whatever it is you're currently working on, it is 100% possible that this book will be someone's favorite someday, and probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people's favorite book. So that alone is, to me, a really good reason to keep going.
Absolutely.
Even if you can't do it for yourself, do it for them. Do it for the person who needs it, who needs to see their story reflected through a character and see, and maybe even have an aha moment through your character's aha moment.
Right. Yeah. Think about how much the book will mean to them, because it's going to mean something to somebody. And so that shifts it, like you're saying, it shifts it from this act that you're doing for yourself to a selfless act that you're doing for someone else. Not that doing it for yourself is selfish, because that's a gift for yourself too, but going beyond that and seeing, wow, it's not even just for me. It's not even just for me. It's for someone else. It's for maybe multiple people, maybe hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people who are going to get something out of this that will enrich their life in some way. That's a really powerful thing. That's really the wonder of what words can do, the power of words, how they fundamentally have this power to connect and to shape people's lives, to shape their decisions and shape history even. So it's just a nice little reality check to bring yourself back to that, you know, hey, this is a powerful thing. This isn't just something you're trying to get through that won't go anywhere. It's going to go places. Yeah. It's going to affect people who read it.
It matters.
It matters.
Your story matters.
It does.
Reason number 5, don't give up because you can't even see how awesome it is. Literally, you can't see it. Writers are the least objective people about their own work.
Yes.
You have an extremely subjective view of your own work, okay? And a lot of times when you think that your book is rubbish, it's because you're the only one who's read it 8 billion times and cross-examined it, and all you can see are the faults and all you can see are the problems. And it's hard to look at your own work objectively. It's really hard to see it as a whole from an outside perspective when you've been like this close to it the whole time. So, you know, if this is happening and you're feeling like, man, I'm just muddled because I can't really see it objectively, I beg you not to do anything rash, like throw it away and burn it and rip it up in a paper shredder, because you probably have no idea how great it really is. It's probably amazing. And one thing that I would recommend doing for this, just to give sort of a better perspective on it, is to surround yourself with some people who you can trust and bounce ideas off of and share some of your work with, perhaps. Maybe some of these people are already in your life around you and you don't even know it.
Maybe they're in your own house.
Maybe they're in your own house. Maybe they're your sister, your sibling, or your parents, or anybody who understands what you're trying to accomplish with this story. They understand where your heart is coming from with it, and you trust and respect their opinion. So whoever fits that description, consider sharing a piece of it with them. Consider just sharing your ideas with them. A lot of times I'll just talk out an idea with somebody who I trust and bounce the ideas off of them. Even if I'm not letting them read what I've written, it's still like a brainstorming process of getting someone else's perspective on it. Mm. And they'll always give you, if they're honest with you, they will always give you an honest, different perspective on it, and it will give you a different lens sort of to see your work through.
Right. And they don't have, like you were saying, they don't have to be another writer.
Right.
I think that's something that a lot of writers look for critique partners or whatever that are other writers. But when it comes down to it, the main people that are going to be reading your book and leaving reviews and telling their friends what they thought about it are not going to be writers. They're going to be readers. They're going to be just people who enjoy reading books. And so tap into that energy now. No need to find someone who's a writer. If they are, that's cool too, but they don't have to be. That's not a qualification that has to be there in order for you to be able to listen to their opinion and maybe get some valuable takeaways from their thoughts.
Yeah, very true. Exactly. Because those people are going to be your future readers. Right. And a lot of times you can even find people in your life who like the genre you write and who would be your actual customer. They would go into a bookstore and pick up your book. So that's also a bonus if you can find somebody like that.
Yes, very much.
Reason number six seems very simple. Because you love writing. It seems like so simple to say it out loud, but it's true. I mean, it's like the pillar core foundation of what got you here in the first place is that you genuinely love writing. If you were forbidden from ever doing it again, you would be really sad. You'd be heartbroken. And a lot of times when we weigh ourselves down with these challenges and these statistics and deadlines and word count goals and things like that, it can sort of cloud your perspective on the reason you even came here in the first place, the reason you even started doing this. We started doing this because it genuinely brings us joy. A lot of writers listening to this right now probably started writing as very young children. You probably, you know, making up stories. Kate and I did that, certainly. Yeah. We would get up every morning with our markers and our crayons and be writing picture books. From very small, very young age.
Very small.
We were very small. So that was
very
like,
small.
That was just like part of who we were, you know, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you have to remind yourself of when you get stuck and you start feeling like, oh, maybe this isn't worth it. Because those are like all these self-judgmental thoughts that are crowding in that are actually blocking your creative genius from flourishing. Because little kids don't have those thoughts, you know? 5-year-old geniuses don't have those self-critical thoughts. Mm. And that's why they can just create from this place of flow.
Right. And like I've said before, I think we said on a podcast, but I was saying that you can't be in the seat of the creator and the seat of the judge at the same time. It has to be one or the other. So you have to choose what is more beneficial to you and what is more beneficial to the world, that you be a judge or you be a creator. Mm. I think that's pretty simple, that today more than ever the world needs more people creating love and beautiful works of art through their writing. We need more of that. Mm-hmm. And so be in the seat of the creator. Really submerge yourself in that. Even if you have to pause what you're doing and get out of that negative thought loop through either meditation, going for a walk, doing some mindful breathing, breath work, whatever, get out of that negative thought loop. And get yourself in a headspace where you can just embrace being the creator, not the judge.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. And happy artists are the most creative artists.
Yes.
When you are coming from a place of joy and gratitude and peace, you're going to find that you're a lot more creative and you have a lot more good ideas because you're not like just trying to overwork the thinking mind. You're actually letting the thinking mind take a break and you're just kind of letting these ideas flow from your heart.
Almost a meditative practice, almost like a moving meditation. That's really what art can be in so many ways.
Yeah, very true. And last but definitely not least, the seventh reason, because we are going to keep writing even when we feel like giving up. So Kate and I pledge to stick with our writing projects, and we want you to pledge to that as well. Whenever Kate and I feel any sort of hesitation or creative dullness, we always take a step back, take a breather, go for a walk, do meditation, take some sort of some sort of method of self-care to get back on the right path, on the right track. and continue forward from a place of peace and happiness and love. So it's not always easy, but it's so worth it. And if we can do it, so can you. It's difficult at first to get the hang of it, but once you get the hang of it, it becomes a practice, it becomes a habit, and you'll find that it's just something that you keep returning to over and over again. So I find that the more you practice through, the more you practice pushing through those slumps and getting through that writer's block, the fewer blocks you encounter, yes. The fewer roadblocks in your creative path.
Not to mention when you can apply it in your art in something that's just between you and yourself, It helps you cultivate this compassionate energy that you can then carry into other areas of your life, like interactions with friends and family, coworkers, and any other situation in your life. If we can't be kind and compassionate to ourselves, then we can't carry that over into anything else in our lives either. Yeah. So when we take something as personal as our own artwork, our own practice with writing, with creating, that's like one of the most personal things you can really engage with, is what you're creating, what you're putting out into the world. So let's make that a practice of compassion.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Connect yes. with yourself on a deep level yeah. and not a destructive, judgmental level.
Well said. Love it. So we hope that this podcast has given you some encouragement, some inspiration, some good reasons to not give up and to keep going and keep writing that beautiful book that you're writing, because the world needs it. And we hope that whatever challenge you are on right now, if it's NaNoWriMo or you're just challenging yourself to finish this book, we hope that you will sprint to the finish line with a smile on your face and a positive attitude and a happiness burning in your heart for this project and enthusiasm for this project. So drop a comment below if you're on YouTube, comment below and tell us what you think of this discussion. We would love to hear your thoughts on it and your reasons for not giving up and for continuing to write. So if you have a specific reason, something that fuels you, write it in the comments below, share it with all the other writers in this community. We would love to hear it. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast, and thank you to the patrons who support this show. We so appreciate your help, and if you get value out of this podcast, consider going to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow to help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. Until next time, stay stoked and rock on.